The Fan on Demand.
So it's all over but the mathematics for the Blue Jays, who can officially be eliminated from the postseason tonight. You know, this was a season where so much broke right around the Blue Jays. AL East powers like the Red Sox, the Yankees, and even Tampa Bay fell apart. Nobody really took control of the wild card race. Yet the Blue Jays were unable to take advantage for a variety of reasons that we've dealt with and no doubt we'll deal with in the next week. You know what? Here I sit on a Monday morning feeling strangely optimistic about 2015. Much of that, it is true, comes from the development of Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison and the emergence of Aaron Sanchez and Daniel Norris. And yes, believe me, I know all about the risks associated with young pitching. I also know that Alex Anthopoulos has several holes to fill in the lineup. But you know what? If you take a look at this team's payroll, he actually has some financial wiggle room with the anticipated departure of Colby Rasmus and Casey Jansen, and he's got some chips to move as well. He has a middle of the lineup that can match up with any in the game. It's a matter now of working on the bullpen and, as I said, addressing a couple of those lineup holes. Truth is, I feel more optimistic about the future now than I did at the end of last season or even the beginning of this season. The Jays are relegated to playing the spoilers role in these four games against the Seattle Mariners. That's true. But I want to know if you feel like I do, or are you less optimistic?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, the Jays start their last week of the regular season coming off a 1-6 road trip. They will play four games against the Seattle Mariners, wrapping it up with three games next weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. We will take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-660-590. Look, maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm off base being this optimistic. Maybe it's just that I had a good weekend. Maybe I should go back to being the cynical old bastard everybody seems to love. But God's honest truth is I feel more optimistic now about the Blue Jays than I did at the end of last year and the start of this season. It's a bizarre feeling for me. Jerry Howarth is the voice of the Blue Jays. And Jerry Howarth joins us. Jerry Howarth is our leadoff hitter on the Jeff Blair Show. You better get on base at least.
That's the whole thing. High on base percentage.
High on base percentage. So, Jerry, I mean, you know me pretty well. Why am I optimistic? Does this concern you that I'm sort of publicly pronouncing my optimism?
No, not at all. In fact, I think people in baseball generally are optimistic. That's why we're where we are and where we sit and what we do. And 162 games tells a story, and you have to be optimistic. You have to look at it realistically at the same time, too. But, no, I think there's always room for optimism. I think, too, you have to wait, though, to see what happens after this year because there still are a lot of question marks for next year.
Jerry, as you sit and look at this team, as I said, a 1-6 road trip, certainly not the way John Gibbons or Alex Anthopoulos want to see this final portion of the schedule go. But as you look at this team right now, compared to where it was last year, both in terms of record and in terms of just the makeup of the team, how do you feel compared to last year?
Well, that's an interesting question. Both seasons have been disappointing, no question about that. I think that's the best word to use. Last year, 74 wins, and this year, with Baltimore and Seattle coming in here in that reverse order, you could be looking, too, at a tough time to get to 81 and 81.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at this year, too, in particular, Jeff, I look at no Brett Laurie, no Mycerus Turris, no Melky Cabrera, and no Edwin Encarnacion for long stretches of time. And I don't think any team can withstand those hits. Those are four regulars that were certainly missed. And remember, two of those were switch hitters, so, and the others were run producers. So you look at the whole situation, that was a disappointment to not have the healthy season that everybody envisioned. Then you look at Adam Lind against left-handed pitching, and it's hard to not have a regular designated hitter who's your everyday hitter like Nelson Cruz, i.e., to give you an example, or others. But when you just do very well against right-handed pitching and not well against left-handed pitching, that hurts your manager, that hurts your team, that hurts your offense. Colby Rasmus, a real disappointment to him, I'm sure, and to everybody else. And Reyes at shortstop, that range and the defensive element that he lent itself to, and I think this year he was the leader in shortstop errors. That was a disappointment, too. And then to answer your question, to go to next year, I'm not sure about Anthony Gose and Ryan Goins and Kevin Pillar. I know they can all play defense, but the problem the Blue Jays have had on these road trips, and they've stumbled three different times, no offense. The pitching has been pretty good, but the offense hasn't been there.
You've been around this team since day one. You look at the starting pitching, you look at the young pitching, and again, I'm going to throw the caveat out there. We all know that young pitchers sometimes get hurt. There's regression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Jerry, when you look at Stroman, Hutchison, Sanchez, Norris, I guess we don't necessarily know about him yet. But when you look at those young pitchers, is this similar, do you think, to Escobar, Halliday, and Carpenter? Are we that, you know, in that position where we can sort of look at these guys and project them to turn out the way Halliday and Carpenter did?
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, because they're just getting started. And then if you put them into – now, Drew's had a good year. Drew Hutchison is an exception to that. Drew has pitched, 185 innings. He has shown that he belongs in the starting rotation. He's only going to get better, and he's had his Tommy John surgery, which was too bad for him last year. Now, you look at Aaron Sanchez. He's done very well, and for me, he's a starter. But he's going to just get started in his career next year, much like Drew. And what happened after Drew had the beginnings like Sanchez? He had the elbow injury and the Tommy John surgery. You don't wish that on anybody, but it's a fact. When you bring young kids up, it can happen. And then you look at Marcus Stroman, too. He's proven, for me, that he belongs in the starting rotation. He's gone through an awful lot in many different ways, and I like him, too. But you don't know what they're going to do in the next two or three years. Now, having said that, Jeff, if they had pitched two or three years up to this point, well, now that's a whole different situation because they've already now acclimated themselves to the major leagues. They've withstood maybe injuries. They've gone through the process. And the other kids, whether it's Pompey or Norris or whatever, they need more time to develop because this is a tough game to play at this level.
What did you make of Dalton Pompey's major league debut?
Well, it was kind of fun to see him start in three straight games, but it showed, too, he had one hit. It showed that he's 21, and he's at Yankee Stadium. And you don't get to the major leagues unless you've had some pretty good experience in the minor leagues and done extremely well. And again, he's 21, he's just getting started. It was fun to watch, but also if you're Alex Anthopoulos or John Gibbons, you don't even want him there. You want other people out there who have experience and can help you win ball games. So it was a nice little beginning for him, but I don't see him being a Blue Jay next year at all. I see him developing more, but you need to see more experienced players to get the job done winning and losing at this level.
Jerry Howarth joins us on the Jeff Blair Show, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. What do you think John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos want to see from their team in this final week?
Well, I think what they need to see, and they've seen it, is play hard and go out there and give it your best. But the results haven't been there because the offense is sputtering, like two runs a game on the average, something like that. No, I think the Blue Jays on the field have played hard and they've done their best, but there are just too many holes in the lineup to try to get through. What would they like to see specifically? I think, number one, Ryan Goins put the ball in play and derive some base hits, but not just strikeout. Same for Anthony Gose and even Kevin Pillar. Their strikeouts are alarmingly high. Put the ball in play. See if you can't get some two or three hard hit balls a game. That would be ideal in seven games to at least carry that forward to the off season. And then in the bullpen, too, I think you might see and lean on Brett Cecil a little bit more, because for me, I see him as a closer even next year. Not sure what Casey Jansen's situation is, but I can see Brett closing a few games here, and let's see what that's all about. I think he has the ability to do that for sure, the temperament and everything else. And then the starters go out there and just continue to pitch six, seven, eight innings. And personally, I would love to see Mark Burley, who for me is one of my all-time favorite people, Blue Jays, et cetera. He's got one start left and maybe a backup on Sunday for an inning or two. But if he gets six innings in his start against Seattle, he has 200 innings, fewer than 61 walks for 14 consecutive years. What a hallmark to success.
That interests me. You mentioned Brett Cecil. You think Brett Cecil has the potential to close for this team next year?
Yes, I do.
You've come around in that, haven't you? Because you didn't always think that.
No, I didn't. And remember when he was a closer at the University of Maryland and did well, the Blue Jays made him a starter, and at one time won 15 games. And then I think he just got a little bit, not out of control, but I don't think he applied himself to a discipline and routine that major league players and all of us have to do for 11, 12 months out of the year. And so then he became a reliever out of necessity because he wasn't starting and doing well. And now I see him with a strikeout pitch. I see him dominate hitters. I see him with a great coolness and unflappability about him on the mound with runners on and scoring position. And, yes, he's got the weapons and the background and the temperament to be a closer. And I told him when he saved his first game last year, I went up to him and shook his hand and said, that's 1 to 100. So I saw it even last year, and now I see it even more.
Jerry, it was good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. I will see you down at the ballpark tonight.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Jerry Howarth. He is the voice of the Blue Jays. Again, Jerry, Joe, and Mike will have the call of the game tonight from the Rogers Center. First of four against the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners going for the wild card. James Paxton will be on the mound for the Mariners. An interesting story, and if you want to check it out, my Monday column's up on sportsnet.ca, and I'll walk you through the James Paxton story. A kid from BC drafted by the Blue Jays. The Jays failed to sign him. He wanted to go back to the University of Kentucky for his senior season. However, Paul Beeston, who's the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, made some comments in an article, actually, in the, I believe it was on the Globe and Mail's website, and essentially suggesting, and I don't think Paul necessarily meant it to be as blunt as it came out, but essentially suggesting that Scott Boras had maybe played more of a role in the negotiations than a lot of people thought. That contravened NCAA rules about the use of an agent in negotiations, and it ended up in court. Paxton's family took it to court twice. Bottom line, James Paxton couldn't pitch in his senior season, went to pitch independent ball, was drafted by the Seattle Mariners. He'll be pitching for the Mariners tonight in a big game. So you can read more about that on sportsnet.ca. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. You can join the conversation on social media. Use the hashtag Blair Show. When's the last time I've been more optimistic about anything than Jerry Howarth? Russ in New Jersey, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Russ.
You know, a little frustrating. You know, you were hoping that, you know, you had a chance here with Oakland really slumping down the stretch, and doesn't seem like anyone really wanted to take those wild card spots, and obviously the Blue Jays haven't played well. But I don't know what it is, but I think there's just something missing on this team. You know, you look at the record now, you know, you're back, you're basically 500. Mm-hmm. You look at this team and you say, you know what, I don't know. I obviously understand it's not a championship maybe team, but you think they should be a lot better than 500, and you scratch your head to figure out why they're not. And it's hard to come up with why. You know, obviously they haven't got consistent pitching, and sometimes they, you know, the hitting's gone into, you know, long droughts on this team, and the injuries obviously didn't help. But you just wonder what you know, I was trying to think what I expect Alex Anthopoulos to do next year or during the off season to help this team. And there's not one answer that stands out at you. You say, okay, this is what we need to become that team.
Mm.
So just wondering what you thought about that. I just, you know, like I said, it's been
yeah.
a frustrating season. The only thing I got Thursday night was I probably saw Derek Jeter's last home run. So, you know, I don't think he can pull anyone besides Ari Bickey today. So,
yeah,
that's the only guy. You know what? It was funny because I was sitting there and I turned to somebody. By his first at bat, I didn't do it by the, you know, before. I said, if this one guy Jeter could hit it out, it's probably Dickey. And he, second at bat, he hits the homer. But it's just, you know, you're sitting there in third place again, and you end up behind the Yankees. And, you know, you had so much promise early on in the season. And I really believed the Jays were going to make the playoffs. I really, really did. And, you know, just to sit here now watching, to hopefully you finish over 500, but what do you think Alex Anthopoulos does in the offseason?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that has to be done is the Jays need to come to a quick resolution with Melky Cabrera. I've been very clear about this. If it's me, Melky's contract is long done. It was done 2 months ago. Melky Cabrera would have been signed to an extension, and we would have moved forward. We've seen what the lineup without Melky Cabrera looks like, and it doesn't look very good. That's job one in the offseason. I guess, Russ, the reason I feel this way is at the start of the year, I didn't think the Jays were going to finish higher than fourth. And I thought that they would score a lot of runs. I thought they'd have a lot of issues with their pitching. Of course, that's kind of flip-flopped. So I'm actually not as down on this team as a lot of people for that reason, because I think my expectations were really, really, really limited. They were really limited for this team. I think I thought they had a shot at 86 wins. I didn't see them really as a 90-win team. I thought someplace around 86, maybe even a little less. That was my read in the team. So I guess the Jays have kind of done what I thought they would do. The difference is I no longer feel that the starting pitching is a total train wreck. I've been waiting for this organization to get to the point it's at now with its starting pitching. Because this organization, going back to the hiring of J.P. Ricciardi, they've been looking for a plan. 1 minute they want to be like the Oakland Athletics. Then they wanted to be like the Minnesota Twins. Then they wanted to be like the St. Louis Cardinals. Then it was Tampa Bay. And the thing that these examples all have in common is that the teams have been constructed around homegrown, cost-efficient starting pitching. So whatever plan you're looking for, if you're a Blue Jays fan, whatever team you think is sort of the way forward, it starts with cost-effective, and that's another word for cheap, homegrown starting pitching. The Jays haven't had that for a long time. Now they do. And that doesn't mean these guys are all going to go on and be all-stars. But the Jays are finally at the point where they've got some young starting pitching, and you can absolutely build on that. They've also got a pretty good middle of the order, and they've got their two key players signed for what amount to bargain basement contracts in this marketplace for the next 2 years. So I think Alex has some options. First thing, though, is you've got to find out about Melky. You've got to make a call on him. He's got to make a call on you. And I am disappointed that contract hasn't already been done. Because as I've said time and time again, Melky Cabrera is a risk. Everybody's a risk when you're talking a 4 or 5 year contract. That's just the nature of the game. But at some point, you have to take a leap of faith with a player. Otherwise, what are you doing? And Melky's the guy you take a leap of faith with. Stan in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Stan.
I agree with you 100% about the young pitching, but I'm a season ticket holder for 10 years, four season tickets, and my line in the sand is Melky Cabrera. I think we've seen what without him in the lineup, it just changes the whole complexion of the batting order. We can't score runs. I mean, he proved this year what kind of solid hitter he is. He doesn't strike out. He's a switch hitter. You know, he just fits in the lineup perfectly because you move Batista back to third. It just makes the whole lineup kind of work.
He's the perfect number two hitter for this team because he can do anything. Basically, he can do anything you want a number two hitter to do, with the possible exception of stealing a base. But, I mean, that's splitting hairs.
You're right. Like, he doesn't strike out. He makes contact with the ball. He's got a short swing. And, I mean, I think we've seen with him out of the lineup, this team doesn't produce the offense. I mean, how many runners have we left on base in the last eight games? It's amazing. So that's my line in the sand. If Rogers doesn't want to spend the money to re-sign this guy, I'm not renewing my season tickets. I'm finished. I mean, I think it's as plain as a nose in your face, and you've mentioned it many times, that the number one thing is to re-sign Melky. And really, I don't care what it costs. To be honest with you, I don't care what it costs. What do they have to pay for Sin Chu too? I don't care what it costs. Resign the guy. That's my feeling. If they don't resign the guy, I'm not interested in my tickets anymore. Like that's the way, because it tells me that they're not interested in winning. Because I do believe what you're saying. With the young pitching they've got, I think they've got a chance next year if they resign Cabrera. If they don't resign him, it's too big of a hole, because there's also other holes they have to fill. This would just create a massive hole.
Yeah, Stan. My concern about Melky Cabrera's situation right now is that I don't think it's up to Rogers or the Jays anymore. I think it's up to Melky. You know what I mean? And that concerns me. That's why I'm a fan of getting these guys locked up during the season.
Right.
Because that's when you're the only person talking to the agent. The market hasn't developed yet. Mm-hmm. My big fear is once the season's over, the ball is in Melky's court. And, you know, Melky Cabrera probably figures, and he knows that he was suspended for PED use, but he probably has looked around and thought, you know what? I've been underpaid by about $5 million for each of the past 2 years. And that's why the people have this idea that Melky may give the Jays some sort of hometown discount.
I
don't think so.
Can I ask you one question, Jeff?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in a hometown discount.
Right.
But
I'm just saying people have this idea that, oh, Melky really, really, really wants to stay here just because he told a couple of reporters, I like it here, I want to come back.
One thing. I mean, I'm not afraid to overpay for Melky. I mean, I think he's a valuable part of the team. So why should we be afraid to overpay for him? I'm not afraid to give him a five-year contract. If we're about winning this thing, making the playoffs, and it's like you said, are we in this thing or are we not in this thing?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Stan. I would have no problem giving Melky 5 years. You know, ideally, I'd love everybody to play on a three-year contract or a two-year contract, but it's not going to happen. You're going to have to go to five to get Melky done. Again, this isn't an old guy. And he's got an easily, as my friend Kevin Barker says all the time, he's got an easily maintained swing. There's not a lot of moving parts in that swing. And that, to me, is the core reason for Melky Cabrera's consistency, is it's just, there's not a lot of moving parts to that swing. It's smooth. It's steady. He is a very, very effective hitter. John Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Signing Melky is the crux of the whole thing. We've just played the Yankees. They have a piece-together team, too, and they just beat us. We have a bullpen we can't rely on until I get it sorted out. I think there's the parts down there to sort it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have starting pitchers that's young. They might be crap next year, but they have the potential to be great. We have a hole in center field. We have a hole at second base. We have a third baseman, great third baseman. If he could play half a season, it would be really helpful. So we got all sorts of holes. I don't if they don't sign Melky and then get a good utility infielder who could fill in, we have big-time problems. If we can't beat the Yankees with a piece-together lineup, and I'm quite sure they're going to go out and open the bank and spend whatever they have to spend to get what they need. And Boston's going to do it. Baltimore's pretty solid. And I'm quite sure Tampa Bay will not sit pat. They've had young pitchers. They have a good farm system, so they'll plug up all their holes. So, in other words, we're back in the American League East and scrambling to get to fourth place.
Yeah, John, the American League East, I think, is going to look a lot more like the American League East next year. And by that, I mean you're going to see the Red Sox. You're going to see the Yankees. You're certainly going to see Tampa back. And that's one of the reasons that I know a lot of fans don't share the optimism that I have. Because they're looking at this season and they're seeing all these things happening around the Blue Jays that should have favored the Blue Jays, whether it's the implosion of the Red Sox and the surprising, quite frankly, the surprising decision very early in the year by Red Sox management that their team they didn't have what it takes. I mean, they started dismantling the team and committing to younger players very early. The Yankees, again, getting older, some guys in the downside of their careers. Tampa Bay, a rare run of pitching injuries, inconsistency on the part of their core offensive players. All this has happened now. And Brady and Walker were talking about this morning, They made a real good point. Now you look at the wild card race, and suddenly you're saying, you know, nobody's really running away with the wild card. You know, Oakland looks like they're in fumes. Seattle's, you know, kind of one step forward, one step backwards. Suddenly you're a Jays fan thinking, God, a lot broke right for the Jays this year. And it really did. Yeah, there are injuries, but there's a ton of injuries around baseball. So I get that feeling on the part of fans. That even those fans who look at where the Blue Jays are right now and say, okay, I can see reasons for optimism about this team next year. I can see reasons for optimism about the pitching, maybe even the lineup next year. Even those fans are saying, the problem is that as optimistic as I am about that, I'm not really optimistic that everybody else in the American League East is going to have the same type of year they had this year. So I guess what I'm saying is there's a sense of opportunity lost here for a lot of people, and that makes it hard to be positive. Mike in Niagara Falls, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Mike.
Jeff, I agree with you. I'm optimistic for next year for the same reasons. Young pitching that looks strong, some pretty good depth that they've managed to build in the last couple of years. I also agree with the previous callers about Melky. That being said, a little post-mortem on this year. During May, I thought we had our first six batters were murderer's row. He had a great leadoff hitter in Jose. Melky, a perfect two with a high average. Then the power came. And, okay, we got hit by injuries, but we could have probably withstood, just like the Titanic, you could put holes in two of the sections of the hull, but not three. And I think that third section, Laurie, Lynn, and Carcione going down, sunk us.
All right.
Maybe next year, if we can put that lineup back together. And I think Brett, he's not so much injury prone as people tend to say. He got hit in the hand. Nothing you can do about that. So.
Well, but yeah, he also, and then he pulled an oblique muscle. I mean, Brett Laurie is injury prone. And I think he's injury prone. I think we can say he's injury prone. I would much rather see Brett Laurie at second base next year than at third base. I've been saying that for a year and a half. I think his bat plays better at second base. I think Alex is going to have to fill either second base or third base in the offseason. You know, maybe Ryan Goins goes to winter ball, and God, if Ryan Goins could just hit like 235 or 240, you could take him. But I think Ryan Goins is best utilized as a utility player. He's a guy that might be able to spell off Jose Reyes at shortstop every now and then, because we know the Jays have already said they're going to talk to Jose Reyes. They're going to tell him, look, as long as you're an artificial turf, we're going to do some things to try to maintain your productivity, to try to maintain your health. You're not going to be playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You're going to be taking a day off. You're going to be getting the Sunday, the day game after night game off. So that'd be Saturday. You're going to have one of those two games off. And that's just the way it is. But in order to do that, they've got to have somebody who can at least fill the gap defensively. That could be Ryan Goins. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Continuing our discussion on the Blue Jays. Are you more optimistic now than you were at the end of last year? Or are you less optimistic? This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club, and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
After midnight, we don't let it all hang down. After midnight, we don't
check. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Don't forget the Leafs start their preseason sked tonight in London against the Philadelphia Flyers. That game will be on Leafs TV. And tomorrow, Sportsnet 360 will have a preseason game for you. San Jose, Vancouver. 16 days to puck drop. 16? 15? 16. It's close. Put it that way, it's close. Wednesday in Sportsnet 360, the Kraft Hockeyville presentation, Arizona at Calgary in Sylvan Lake, Alberta. Home of Lyndon Rush. Bobsled driver, he'll be there. Guarantee you he'll be there. And he is a big Jays talk fan. That's right. He phones up Wilner. He listens to Wilner, calls up Wilner. Anyhow, that's Kraft Hockeyville is always a lot of fun. Let's continue our dialogue, shall we, about the Blue Jays and why I'm so optimistic about them. And now, you know what? Now you guys have killed my buzz. I'm becoming less and less optimistic the more I talk to you guys. This is normally the other way around, right? John Corbin on Twitter. I'm less optimistic. Payroll squeezes, durability of Reyes and Lind. Rookie pitching, no guarantee to take us to the playoffs. Mark Train, Jays need change at upper management. One game over 500 versus 32 for O's. It is not working. I will say this. At some point, early in this offseason, somebody, and I'm not entirely certain it can be anybody other than Paul Beeston or whoever is the club president. I think somebody has to address the fans' concerns about payroll one way or the other. I'm not as panicked by it as a lot of people because I think the money's there. I don't think this place is going to stand in the way of a product that absolutely dominates TV for 3 months. I don't think this is a place that's going to say, well, you can't spend an extra $2 million. Or you can't spend an extra $5 million. But there are people out there who need to be convinced of that. And I accept that. And I think it's a dialogue that has to be undertaken this offseason. But again, I'm not certain the general manager is the guy to do it. I think that falls in the lap of the president, to be honest. Brad in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Tell me, Brad, that I have reason for optimism.
You have every reason to be optimistic.
Thank you.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I think this Blue Jays team, for the first time in a long time, actually has a structure to it. And I think, you know, as disappointing as the win total is this year, and as disappointing as, you know, not being in the playoffs this year and that opportunity being there, I think for the first time in a long time, this team knows where it stands and what it needs to be competitive. For the longest time, this team has just been slapped together, you know, and expected just to go out and compete. Where now there's a structure to it where, okay, we know what we need. You need a center fielder. You need a third baseman, because I agree with your assessment on Lurie. And it needs, I think, a bona fide starting pitcher. I think if you go out there and get those things, I think you have all the makings of a World Series team and being very competitive in the American League East next year. So that's why I share your optimism, because, I mean, it's kind of like back in the days, you know, in 88, 89, 90, where they were good enough to win the AL East, but they weren't good enough to get into the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that Joe Carter and Roberto Alomar trade that really changed things around, because there was an identity of, okay, this is what we need to get us to the next level. And I think now the team is there. They have identified, okay, what gets us to the upper echelon of the American League instead of just kind of meandering in the middle of it and just hoping to cling on to a second wild card spot. Because you don't want to be that team, right? Because if you're going to be that team, I mean, you're going to lose your fan base. You're going to lose a lot of interest really quickly. And I don't think Beeston really wants to be that team. I don't think Anthopoulos really want to be that team. I think they want to be a team that goes out there and competes every single night. And so I think there's a lot of optimism. I see a lot of optimism with the Jays, because for the long, the team is structured now. It's not slapped together and expected just to go out and do something on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'll hear what you have to say. And I think Cabrera is a must. But I think outside of that, I think going out there and just grabbing third base, center fielder, and maybe shocking the world with a Max Scherzer sign. I don't know. Maybe I'm dreaming. But
yeah, I think you're dreaming about Max Scherzer. Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. Look, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Believe me, I'm not under any, you know, I'm not operating under any pretense that this is going to be an easy off season and that the issues that need to be addressed are, you know, that Alex can address them just to, you know, at the drop of a hat. But I truly do believe that as long as you've got that young pitching, it gives you the necessary foundation. That's the way the game has gone now. You can't do anything without that foundation. And the Jays have that. The Jays have that. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, man.
You know what? I agree with the last caller. I think they need to sign Melky. I've been saying that time and time again. And I also think they will trade Burley. But I'm not going to tell you where they should trade Burley. I'm going to save that for the free agency period.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have a lot of ideas of where he should go.
They've all got to be the National League, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You can drop it on us later, as long as we get that out there.
Oh yeah, for sure. And maybe see if we can get an insurance policy for the outfield in case either they sign Melky or they don't as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see them sign a starting pitcher, but not Max Scherzer. I want to see them sign James Shields. I'm a huge James Shields fan, and he's done some things for the Royals this year that has been expected. I mean, stopping losing streaks and pitching big games, and that's something the Blue Jays need, someone that could stop a losing streak and win some of those rubber match games that they haven't done well this season, too.
Yeah, and he's also the type of guy, Eddie, thanks for the call, he's also the type of guy that can set a tone in a clubhouse. And I'm when it comes to starting pitching, I'm as much a numbers guy as anybody, because I think that the whole idea of a starting pitcher as your leader, you know, a guy who works once every 5 days being your quote-unquote leader, however you define leadership, doesn't really sit with me. But I think James Shields is the type of guy who can be larger than life in the clubhouse. If you talk to people around the Royals or people who've played with James Shields, they'll tell you that he's that type of guy. He is a very big personality. And you know what? Over the course of a long season, I think it helps to have those personalities in your clubhouse. I really do. Tom in Waterloo, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Tom.
I may have leveled a bit, honestly. I love the young pitching. You know, you can buy a pen. But my disappointment was in the non-progression of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghosts, the Goins, Laurie. You know, we had another repeat season of those guys again, and that disappointed me. Going to have to make some creative trades in here, I think, to bring a couple of people in. But that was my disappointment of the year. Those guys didn't advance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. I mean, look, and I think we can all agree now that, I don't think any of them are going to be everyday players. Goins, I might hold out a little bit of hope for because of the position he plays. But I don't see Pilar and Ghost as being anything other than utility guys. And I wish to hell, I really wish that Pilar would take the odd walk. I've been puzzled by the approach I've seen from these guys. And, you know, the Jays have basically, they're basically telling Kevin Pilar and Anthony Ghost, you've got a job next year. I mean, here, the opening is here. I mean, we can't be any clearer with you. We're sitting out a guy who's a free agent, potential free agent, to let you guys have at it. And neither of them have taken advantage of it. And this isn't the first time. This is at least the third or fourth go-around for Ghost, and at least the second or third for Pilar. And you have to move on. Goins, I still have a little bit of hope for because of that glove. He can be a game-changing defensive player, but he's just got to hit enough that I can have him in the lineup. He's got to hit enough that he can bat ninth in a very good lineup. And he hasn't been able to do that. But I'm not giving up hope in Ryan Goins yet. I'm not. I wrote in the article I wrote in Sportsnet.ca, I'd like to see him go down to winter ball, play a whole season at winter ball, and come back and at least be able to contribute offense, at least put the ball in play. Don't be a vortex offensively, right? Don't be a thing that just kind of sucks the life out of everything in the lineup. And I would love to see Ryan Goins go to winter ball and come back and take charge of the position next year. My concern for Ryan Goins is that the Jays may have seen enough from him. They may move Brett Laurie to second, try to get another third baseman, and Ryan Goins will be restricted to utility duty, which is going to make it even harder for him to be any type of a contributor offensively. Because as hard as it is to be an offensive contributor playing every day if you're Ryan Goins, you don't want to see Ryan Goins as a pinch hitter. Jays talk today. Baseball Central at noon with yours truly and Joe Siddle is, of course, will, of course, be on at noon. We'll continue the postmortem of the Blue Jays all week long. I want to shift focus to the NFL, though. Stephen White is a former defensive end with the Buccaneers and the Jets. He's now an NFL writer for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at SGW94. Cincinnati, Arizona, and Philadelphia, the three unbeaten teams after week three. Did you see Cincinnati? Did you see Andy Dalton? We had Dave Lapham on, the Bengals radio analyst, on Friday talking about the Bengals. Anyhow, the Bengals are 3-0. They've now got the bye week. We saw Seattle win a Super Bowl rematch that was way more exciting than the actual game. And Green Bay and San Francisco appear to be in early trouble. Stephen White will join us. Talk a little NFL when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.